I know it's here somewhere. Finally. Oh, it's time for the doctor. You're listening to Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Take it away, doctor.
Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in. It's time once again for Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. And we've got a show this week for you, which is good because we've gone many weeks until last week without much of a show, kind of little mini shows. So I'm glad to be back in the old saddle. Actually, it's a chair. Again. By the way, we are proud members of the Tech Podcast Network, techpodcast.com. If it's tech, it's right here on Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. We're also proud members of the International Association of Internet Broadcasters. Yes, and there's a good reason for that. That's what we do here, is broadcast via the interwebs throughout the universe, primarily to Earth. I suspect there's a few aliens out there watching. But actually, they may be on Earth, too. Just saying. Okay. Let's look at the blog, shall we? The blog, of course, is drbill.tv. DRBILL.TV. Right there on the screen. Fred distracted me for a second. Fred, of course, is my imaginary friend who keeps me straight. Fred basically said, blog? What blog? The blog that we base the whole show on. He's in a bit of a mood today. Yeah. Anyway. So first item here. Sad but true. A Trojan malware for Linux. Dude. Now, I say here in the introduction to this article from SC Magazine by Ashley Carman, that Linux is getting more popular, and therefore it is making it more of a target for malware. But you know, I could have done without additional malware. Just saying. It hasn't attacked me, but you know, what can you say? It says here, a newly discovered Trojan is infecting Linux systems and possibly building up an arsenal of devices to be used in a distributed denial of service or DDoS attack, according to a blog post from Avast, you mateys. Now, Avast is an antivirus program, and they have their own people who stay on top of the security world, and so they're reporting it. And the new threat, which is called XOR.DDoS, alters, they're never called Sam or George. Have you ever noticed that? Anyway, alters its installation depending on the victim's Linux environment and then later runs a rootkit to avoid detection. Sneaky little bugger, isn't it? Yes. Although a similar Trojan has been spotted in Windows systems, Peter Kalnai, malware analyst at Avast, said in a Wednesday interview with SC Magazine that this Trojan ventures into relatively untapped territory by targeting Linux systems. Everybody attacks Windows systems because it's just so easy. This malware is being a little more aggressive and attacking Linux. But I still say it's because Linux is getting more popular and there's more Linux systems out there, which is why it's happening. Now, this next item. I'm really excited about this. Star Trek continues. I don't know if I've talked to you about that in the past. Star Trek continues. Get the old mouth working. You know, it's you gotta ease into these things. I'm just a little excited, so I got tongue-tied. Yes, Fred, that's okay. Fred, you don't have to tie me up. It's the tongue. It's an expression. He always gives me a hard time. Anyway. Yes, I suppose it is easy, isn't it? Anyway, Star Trek Continues is a thing that is Vic Mignola, which I think is a near approximation of how you pronounce his name, You know him as the voice from, actually he does a lot of voiceover work, but I'm thinking specifically of the voiceover work he did as Elric, on the anime movie where his brother was a big suit of armor. Cannot think of it. Fred, look it up and put it up on the screen. He does, you know, his stuff afterwards sometimes, and he can do research for me. So I'm sure he'll look it up for me. Anyway, so you may know his voice from that. But he makes a really good Kirk. Yes. So, and the whole cast. Well, for instance, Sulu is played by the guy from Mythbusters. See, I shouldn't mention these things if I don't look up the names. Okay, Fred, put that up too. Sigh. Anyway, I need to do all the research before I do the show instead of just talking off the top of my head like my hat. Not that my hat talks, but it's on top of my head. Anyway, go to StarTrekContinues.com. It's the easiest thing to do since I've messed it all up. Grant Imahara. Thank you, Fred. Took you a while to look that one up, didn't it? Yes. Him from Mythbusters. He's Sulu in this. Dude. It's really, really good. They have three episodes. Count them three episodes out already. And they're very good. The idea of this, and the reason it's called Star Trek Continues, is imagine if the original series, at the last episode, which was Turnabout Intruder, yes, I know I'm a Trekker. I don't even have to look that up. I just know it. Anyway, the very last scene of Turnabout Intruder, Spock and Scotty and Kirk walk into an elevator, and the elevator turbolift doors close, and that's it. But imagine that you picked up from there and continued on with the episodes if they had not been canceled. That's what Star Trek Continues is all about. And it's really good. We're talking fan fiction here, but dude, it's good stuff. For instance, Pilgrim of Eternity, which was episode 1, brought back the guy who played Apollo in the original series, the actual actor. Dude, that's pretty cool. And it's a really good episode. And then Lolani, which is the second episode, which is about a green Orion slave girl that is looking to, you know, be free. It was better than a lot of fan fiction. Not as good to me as Pilgrim of Eternity. That's just a personal opinion. But then Fairest of Them All, the third episode. Big time thumbs up. It is an awesome episode. It's in the Mirror Universe. Dude. And they all get to wear the Mirror Universe outfits and everything, and Spock with the beard. Yes. It's very cool. Anyway, you can tell I'm pretty excited about it. They started doing these shows, like I said, they've already done three, by doing a Kickstarter, which they called a Kirkstarter. Get it? Yes. And so now they've got Kirkstarter 2. So go to their Kickstarter page for their Kirkstarter 2. It's hard to say. And contribute. They need $100,000 to continue their efforts. Their sets, I'm talking, dude. I mean, they bought a warehouse and they built these permanent Star Trek sets that are flawless. They're perfect. Wow. And if you go to their Vimeo page, which I've got a link to in the blog, you can see a walkthrough of their whole set, and it is awesome. And I mean, it's built so that you can walk from one set to another. Wow. I'd love to just go there and walk through their sets, all right? Dude. Anyway, for us Trekkers, it's awesome. So contribute to the Kirkstarter. Yes. Okay, next item, the Steam client for Linux. Now, you've heard me talk in the past about Steam, which is an online gaming thing, And there, for the longest time, there was not a Steam client for Linux. Then they got all excited and made a Steam client for Linux, and it basically was so popular and so useful and so fast that they put a whole lot of effort into it. They even now have a Steam OS, which I've talked about, Linux operating system, just for Steam, which is awesome. But they've got a problem with their client. Now, it's not Linux per se. It's their client. But this is from Slash Gear by JC Torres. It says, no software bug is more egregious than one that can potentially wipe out a user's precious files without warning or indication. I mean, even if you got warning, it's bad. Okay, but without warning particularly. Some Linux users are finding this out the hard way when they discover that their Steam client was silently deleting files, starting from the very root directory all the way into the deepest folders. Oh, ouch. Okay. So Linux is having a little bit of an issue this week with some of its, you know, software and so forth. Now, the good news is that they are working on fixing it. Okay? Stay tuned. And if you haven't updated your Linux Steam client, do it now. Because it's just, it's bad. Okay? Next item, Elon Musk. Now, Elon Musk is the closest thing we've got to a real Tony Stark. That's the comment I make here in the beginning of this article. He wants to build a space-based internet by putting up satellites in the sky, in space. And, you know, Google proposed to do it with balloons floating around, broadcasting down Wi-Fi. Well, he's wanting to do it with satellites. Dude. And Elon Musk, I mean, he's done some pretty amazing things. He is behind Tesla Motors with the electric car, with SpaceX, you know, that NASA is now using to launch stuff up to the International Space Station. And the Hyperloop, that's another big news item that he's actually talking about building a prototype of the Hyperloop, which is a super fast train. I mean, dude, this guy is into a lot of high-tech coolness. So he's talking about launching another project. He wants to build a second internet in space and one day use it to connect people on Mars to the web. This guy is thinking out there. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Musk is tonight, this is as of this article, obviously, hosting a SpaceX event in Seattle, where the company is opening a new office. The talk will mostly be about SpaceX's plans for hiring aerospace and software engineers in the Pacific Northwest to boost the company's rocket-building efforts. But he'll also talk about his newest idea, which would be to launch a vast network of communication satellites to orbit the Earth. The network would do two things: speed up the general flow of data on the internet and deliver high-speed, low-cost internet services to the 3 billion-plus people who still have poor access to the web. Our focus is on creating a global communication system that would be larger than anything that has been talked about to date, he told Bloomberg Businessweek ahead of the announcement. Dude, that is just too cool. And as usual, I'm all for it because I have long said that I want ubiquitous internet, Wi-Fi everywhere, so that our Wi-Fi radio channels and stations could be heard anywhere you are without having to use one of those little hotspot dealies or your phone as a hotspot. That would be so cool. Whoa! Okay, Fred, yes, it is time for the Geek Software of the Week. Fred loves the Geek Software of the Week drum roll. Anyway, he's telling us that it is time for the Geek Software of the Week. Geek Software of the Week this week is Ninite. Ninite. Now, there's a story about this. Last time we talked about a Geek Software of the Week called Patch My PC, and I had a viewer who wrote me an email that said that he installed Patch My PC and he got a malware Trojan thing. And I was really not happy. Because I installed Patch My PC and it was fine. But now here's the thing that I did notice. After a while, the Patch My PC program on my computer went and went away. Sound effect there. I think it went away because my system is set up to find malware and get rid of them. So, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. I thought it was good, but it wasn't. So, the viewer who told me about this sent me a link that said that it was malware and how to get rid of it. I was not happy, believe me. So, I wanted to find something that had similar functionality to what it was promising, which was the ability to install and update software. So, Nanite, I'm not sure how to pronounce it exactly, is supposed to be the good guys. All right, they have a paid-for version, they have a free version, they're recommended by PC Week and lots of other magazines. They should be on the up and up, folks, okay? They shouldn't be malware. Now, Patch My PC, I deleted off the blog and out of the Geek Software of the Week. So please, please don't use it. Okay? Sorry. But Nanite looks good. Nanite installs and updates all your programs at once. It is trusted by millions of home users and Nanite Pro subscribers like NASA, Harvard Medical School, and Tupperware. Okay, so it's a serious, real program with real company behind it, okay? You can click on all the apps you want out of a list of supported apps. It'll install the apps for you in the background so you don't have to click next, 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 next. We say no to toolbars or other junk automatically. That's cool. And then if you run it again later, it will pick up the latest versions of all those programs, which is what Patch My PC was supposed to do. It's getting kind of bad when you're not sure that you can recommend things. You know what I'm saying? Yeesh. Anyway, last item, Google driverless cars are coming sooner than we thought. It's way sooner than I thought it was going to be, but they're saying 2 to 5 years we'll have Google driverless cars. Now, I'm wondering if they're going to initially announce them for companies that want them in closed areas, you know? But, I mean, it talks about here in the article that California and Michigan both have passed laws for self-driving vehicles to be allowed. So, maybe they're talking about seriously releasing it for real, for regular use, which is pretty wild. Contrary to the predictions of many industry analysts, Google's head of self-driving cars, Chris Urmson, sorry, Chris, I'm not pronouncing your name right, expects actual people to be driving in self-driving cars within the next 2 to 5 years. However, the cars may not be quite ready yet, to be a consumer product. Chris stated the cars would still be test vehicles, and Google would collect data on how they interact with other vehicles and pedestrians. The extent of the testing and the stakeholders involved is yet to be disclosed. The author here from TechSmash, Ryan Egan, says, sign me up! I'm cautiously optimistic that it would be cool. But I kind of like driving myself. I kind of designate myself as the designated driver to everywhere we go. Now, my wife can drive, my son can drive, but I tend to drive everywhere because I like to drive. But I can understand that, you know, if you wanted to read a book while you went to work, this would be the best way to do it. Okay? Not recommending you do it now. All right? Just wanting to be clear there. So anyway, Google driverless cars, they may be coming sooner than we thought. I think it would be fun. I'd at least like to try it. You know? Anyway, so that's it for this go-round of our amazingly strange show. Join us next time. Remember until then that the doctor is out of here.
Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, is a production of DrBillBailey.net with all the honors, rights, and privileges thereunto.